What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Identify You podcast. I'm Shakira, your hostess with the Moses, and I'm happy to be here today. By the end of this episode, you should be able to identify who you are and whose you are in Christ Jesus. Y'all, it is the end of April, and I am just so full of hope. Our theme this month was her hope. So we got a lot to talk about tonight, okay? Thank you so much for joining our live podcast show. I'm so grateful for each of you. We are rediscovering the joy of expectation. So I hope y'all are ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. We've concluded our reading of the month, which was All Hope is Found by Sarah Jakes Roberts, and it was truly amazing. If you are a faith slayer and you enjoyed the book, drop some fire in the chat. Drop some fire in the chat. Was it not a good book, y'all? So good. So many gems. All hope is found. God is truly amazing. Shout out to all the faith slayers that's tuned in right now. I know they are tuned in, and I'm just truly grateful for this beautiful community that God has allowed me to cultivate. I do want to announce that memberships will be open from tonight up until April 30th. So you have a few days to lock in your membership going into the new month. We'd love to have you join us, sis. So we will drop the link down in the chat, and you have from tonight until April 30th to get your membership secured. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. I see the faith slayers in the chat. Amazing book. Woo, woo. Okay. I see y'all. Big faith slayer, not the little one. Oh my goodness. I cannot. Loving the book. Amazing. Yes, yes, yes. I love it. So we will be dropping the link down in the chat if you would like to get your membership. And if you know a sis, share it, because sharing is caring, and we are expanding, and we would love to have some new faces be a part of what God is doing on this side of the internet. Okay, so thank y'all so much. Also, couple of housekeeping things. Please subscribe to the channel if you're watching on YouTube. Follow on all social platforms at I Am Shakira TV, okay? And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please leave a review. Leave a review there. This is not only free support, but it also helps us to get recognized, our podcast to get recognized to other people who may need this content as well. So remember, sharing is caring. The link for the memberships is down in the comments. So there you have it. You have until April 30th. Be there or be square. Okay. Now I want to get right into today's episode, y'all. Y'all are in for a special treat, and I am just super excited about the conversation that we're going to have with our special guest. So I would like to introduce and welcome our special guest from Belmont, Texas, who resides in the DFW area. She's a powerful woman of God, a wife, mother of seven, grandmother, sister, friend, favorite auntie, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, just all the things, okay? She loves and lives to empower and encourage others through mornings and moments with Samaras. Remember, just start. Let's get it. Please help me welcome Miss Samaras Aladapo, the empowering encourager, to the stage. Y'all drop some hand clap emojis in the chat if you're ready for her to come to the stage.
Hello, hello, hello everyone. So honored to be a guest on tonight.
Wait, we can't hear you. Are you saying something?
You can't hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. You're good. Okay.
I was just saying, I'm very honored to be a guest on your show tonight, on the show, on the podcast this evening.
Awesome. We're so happy to have you. We are so happy to have you. So how are you?
I am well.
Are you nervous?
I think I am. I think I am. But I'll be okay. I'll be okay.
Do you see all these people? They are going crazy in the chat. Okay. We are so happy to have you. And we are just grateful and honored that you are giving us some of your time and going to share your story with us. So I hope they are ready. So let's get right into it. Because you are all the things. That introduction, I'm like, okay. Y'all, she don't even look like she a mother of seven, do she?
Seven. Yes. Seven. Six girls and one son.
Just beautiful. Love it. Love it. One thing about that black, it don't crack.
It really does.
So, y'all, I'm just so honored to have this special guest. Y'all know, if you've been here for a while, do you already know I talk about just divine assignments and how God will literally place people on your path for a reason in a specific season. And this was in a divine appointment, okay? Yeah. Like, I can't even go into all the details of it, but just know that God did his big one, okay? And I'm just so grateful to have Mrs. Samaris as my big sister / angel neighbor.
Definitely.
So this month we have been reading All Hope Is Found by Sarah Jakes Roberts. Our theme of the month was Her Hope, and we are just rediscovering and embracing the anticipation of just what God can do. For you, I know that your journey, we talk a lot and you shared a lot with me, and I'm so grateful for that. So to kick it off, I would love for you to share a pivotal moment in your own life where you experienced a shift in perspective leading to a renewed sense of hope and expectation. So that can be from when it was little Samaris, young adult Samaris, adult Samaris, just a moment, a pivotal moment where in your own life where you had a shift in perspective.
I would say it's probably on my 46th birthday, after I've lived life and had kids, and the night of my birthday, I prayed a prayer. And my prayer was, God, anyone that needs to be in my life, I ask that you bring them forward to help push me into my purpose and destiny. If there are some reconnects, reconnect. If there are some disconnects, disconnect. If there's anyone that needs to be removed out of my life, remove them, because I want to go where you want me to go. I'm tired of doing it my way. My way don't work. And so I wasted enough time. So I'm asking you, and I'm ready for you to do what you want to do. And that was pivotal because God made a very loud statement. Very loud statement.
Jesus, that's so good. So you said the night of your 46th birthday, to pray that prayer, because I talk about this a lot with my ladies. And when we get out the way and allow God to do what he needs to do, like that's really when it's complete surrender. Like I'm committed and I'm surrendering. So what made you even pray that prayer, like in that moment?
I was tired. To be frank, I was tired. I was a single mother at the time of just 5. And just, I went straight from to the Marine Corps from high school. And I was that church girl, like literally the church girl on the front row in her Bobby socks kicking her legs. That was me. And so, I'm a PK. So I always, even though I knew better, ran from it, but I always knew that there was something deep on the inside of me. And when you know it and you're around it all the time and you see the behind the scenes things of church, it can scar you. But I didn't know that. But until I had to start realizing that I needed my own personal relationship with God. And so talking to him, he my best friend, he knew everything about me anyway. So it's no way, form, or fashion. And so when I realized that, like, hey, he already knew everything. Like, I'm his girl. So when I realized that, it became easy. It wasn't, when I began to pray, I knew it didn't have to sound a certain way. Mm-hmm. He heard me regardless. So he knew what I needed. So once I got past that, that was very eye-opening.
I love that. You said a whole lot that we need to unpack. First of all, being a PK, and for y'all who don't know, a PK is a preacher's kid. I talk about my testimony and my story all the time. I came to know Jesus at a very young age. So with you being a PK and to say that you ran from it until you had to really get to the end of yourself, what do you believe was some of the foundational things that were instilled in you to know, like, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life?
I knew that I had to study to show myself approval. And I kept hearing something even through this process and transition was chew the meat, spit out the bones. Mm. And so I stopped taking things, I guess you could say, at face value. And so when I started going to church through all this transition, I'm like, God, show me what you need to show me and help me to chew the meat and spit out the bones. Whatever I need that will provide substance to me, to nourishment to me, let me retain it. But if there's anything that's bones that I no longer need or need to be discarded or that's not what you of you, then help me to throw it away. So once I went like that and looking, it opened up, it helped a lot. And it took a lot of pressure off of me. Like I was beating myself up. I was convicting myself because it had to look a certain way. It had to sound a certain way. And God just wanted me to be me because He already knew me anyway.
Mm-hmm. And that was my next thing, because a lot of people believe that they got to clean up, they got to get it all right, they got to come to perfection before they come to Jesus. And it's like, that is the furthest thing from the truth, because He loves us just the way we are. He is a sovereign God. He made the choice. And I love that you spoke to that, because there are so many women who need to know that it's okay where you are.
Definitely. Right? Yeah. It's very okay. I went through a season where I was, like I said, I was a single mom. And so I always said I would never introduce anyone to my children unless I knew that He was the one. Mm. Because I knew my children were like me, and I knew that they love hard. That means, like, you jump in a pool like you can swim in UK. You just jump in, you're going all in. And it's like, oh, I can swim. They going to love, they going to give, they going to give their all. And I just could not, I didn't feel like, I was still, you know, maybe with some control, but trying to protect them. I didn't want to cause them any more harm from the absent or not always present parent. So I said I would never introduce them to anyone unless it was who God had for me. And so for years, that's what it was. And my family was like, you think He just gonna come knock on your door? You're not going anywhere. You're not engaging with anybody. And I'm like, whoever God has me is me. But it got to a point where I guess I moved the clock along. And I kept hearing, get out your box. So I got out my box. Mm. And God was telling me my life didn't have balance. Because remember, I'm a PK, so everything always looked one way. Mm-hmm. It always had to be one way. I'm going to get myself right before I go to church, before I give my life to Christ. No, you give your life and He going to help you get it right. But so I entered into, it was a counterfeit. And if I really would have saw, I would have known at the beginning, but I didn't want to see because it was such a longing that I thought I needed. I thought I couldn't exist without Him. And then finally, the counterfeit meeting my family. And then after, everything came to a head. God literally like splashed cold water in my face. Like, girl, you finna open your eyes. You fixing to see. And there was such a shame and embarrassment that overshadowed me. It was like I was under the ground and I couldn't pick myself up. I was worried about what other people thought, what my children thought. But, you know, and then that kind of spiral, being real and raw. And so I went to a season that I had never been in. I went pretty far. And so, to be honest, so on my raw oats, and I knew better. But I literally heard the Spirit of God say, I'm giving you grace. Because this is going to extend your reach. But when I say stop, you better stop. And I did everything and everything I wanted to do, you know. And so, but when I heard, when he said stop, it was like, okay, now it's time to put your stakes down in your tent. And I'm like, what is that? That means that I had enough of, he had enough of me going wherever. And it was funny because he had me leave a ministry. And the churches that he would have me to visit every time, every church, there would be a specific message just for me. And I would be like, Lord, if I can just catch the benediction. And I remember going to a church one time where I literally just caught the benediction. But that benediction was not a regular benediction. So all of that happened for a reason. So all of that pushed me. Me making sure that God telling me your life had to have balance, that I needed to get out of my box because I was so square. I was so self-righteous. If I didn't do all that, then I wouldn't be where I am today. I would have never met my earthly king. Mm. But I had to go through in order to get to.
First of all, nobody told you to go waist deep. You didn't went all the way in because, Lord, I don't know if y'all feel this right here, but you just said so much. Because first of all, we got to go back to your PK, but then you said you was a single mom of five. So take us through that journey. Like, what does that look like? Because also you talked about shame and all the things. And it's like being a single mom of five kids and a preacher's kid is like, hold up now. How did you rediscover hope to know, like, God has a plan for your life, for you and your children?
I'll say this, and Holy Spirit is telling me to limit what I release because I'm going to get down to it, Shakira. I married him twice. I married my children's father twice. Married him, divorced him. We were divorced about a year, and I married him again. And I never forget when I went for my divorce, the judge, Judge Shelton, said, I better not see you in this court again. And that was just because I felt like I wanted my children to have what I had. I had an amazing father. My mom and dad were together. I was a daddy's girl. I'm still a daddy's girl. And he's in heaven. But can't nobody tell me nothing. I'm a daddy's girl till the day I die. And so I wanted that for my children, and seeing them that hurt, and I was trying to control their experience, and that wasn't helping them. Mm-hmm. That was hurting them. I would tell people, my mom, and they're grown, and I'm grown, but I would tell my mom, if anybody has an opinion about him, I sure do. But whatever you do, do not speak ill of him in front of the children, my children. Because whatever conclusion they get, whether it's hurting or not, I need them to get it themselves. Now, given I had a few moments where I slipped, but that was very important to me because I never wanted them to say this about dad or whatever because of anything that I said. Although I know it would be painful. You know, I didn't want it to be painful, but I wanted the conclusion to be theirs. And Shakira, I forgot what you told me to point out because you know how I talk. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was just asking you, like, how did you find hope? How did you rediscover hope for you and your children to know, like, after, you know, going through all the things that you went through, that God has a plan, like, there's something going to come out of this?
On my face, laying prostrate before him, when I would get that nudge at about 3 o'clock every morning, not just rolling over, getting up And with my prayer shawl and just laying before him, getting into that place, you can say prayer closet, but it was just the atmosphere and just getting down there. I cried, I wailed, I did it all, and then I just listened. I just listened. So sometimes, some mornings, nobody said nothing, but I was there. And so I had to, you know, that's a small sacrifice to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But that's just, I had to do it because I had no other way. What I tried didn't work. And I felt hopeless, but I knew who could give me hope. Mm-hmm. And so it was time out for me to stop running from it and not doing it. Just one thing, I guess, as a PK being raised in the church, that I always knew who to fall back on. Mm-hmm. I always knew. I knew. My mom always told me Psalms 23rd Psalms. That was one of my favorite scriptures, John 3:16. So whenever trouble came, that always came. I knew the songs. I really loved the Lord. Those songs, those hymns. So that would help build me up and would bring the hope back. So, but mainly just before my face. Laying prostrate before God, just where I could hear him.
I love that. I love that so much. And I feel that for anybody who's listening, like, it is so important to listen to the Holy Spirit. That unction is the Holy Spirit guiding you and directing you. And you have to have a prayer life. We talk about this all the time in the Faith Slayer community. You can't expect to hear from God if you're not praying and meditating on his word. So I just love that that's what it is. Like, you were up. They always say that time between 3 to 6 a.m. If God is waking you up, it is for a reason. And you need to get into prayer immediately. And not only bringing your prayers before the Lord, but listening. You mentioned that so many times on how you had to listen.
Yeah. And the hard head makes us soft behind. So I got whooped a lot of times, but I finally had to learn. And there was, even through this process, you know, knowing I had nowhere else, it was like I was up against a brick wall. I felt hopeless, but Lord, I know you're the one that can give me hope, that can bring me alive again. And God would just bring me, Holy Spirit would just bring me names of people. I wouldn't know who there was. And there's one name that was around that time. I prayed for this person pretty much every day. Gave me a first name and a last name. And me, in the natural self, I went looking for him. I don't know who it is. But I still have the reminder in my phone every morning to pray for this person. Mm-hmm. I don't know who he is. I may not ever meet him. But it may just be my prayers that God is using to sustain him and keep mm-hmm. him. So I ain't got to know him. God know him. And he put him on my heart. And he whispered his name in my ear. So I must be obedient.
That part. That's so good. So in your work as the empowering encourager, you emphasize the importance to remember, just start, let's get it. And we've already talked about some very practical spiritual strategies, but what, like, mindset shifts can that woman that you're speaking to cultivate? Can she adopt to cultivate a sense of hope and expectation, especially during difficult times?
I would say it doesn't matter how many times you've tried before and you may have stopped. You may have got tired. You may have gotten weary. Or you just said, this ain't for me. I'm over it. I'm done. There's nothing that you have done that you cannot come back for, that God cannot bring you back from. So even if you get knocked down, even if, when I was a child and I was a tomboy and I got kicked in my stomach, you would knock the wind out of you. And it would just be like such, like, you had to try to get your bearing. Even if whatever the situation is, it knocks your bearing out of you. Shake it off. And It doesn't necessarily mean that shaking it off is going to be easy, but just start. Just begin again. If you just start, if you just take, but they say you take one step, you'll take two. Just start. That's all you have to do. Just start. Whatever it is, it could be a small step. It could be a big step. No step is not important. Every step means something. So just start. Just start. If it's just reading one scripture a day, it could be the same scripture. You could just read Psalms, the 23rd Psalms every day, or just one, John 3:16, my mom's favorite verse, which had come my one of my favorite Psalms 91. And I love about that scripture because he says he knows my name. That would just send me to run around the whole neighborhood because he know my name. So just start, and just as you go and keep going and keep going, just little bit by little bit, and God will strengthen you and pour into you what you thought you couldn't have and what you thought you had lost. He'll get it because he love you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So I briefly mentioned your work in Moments in Mornings with Samaris, but tell everyone a little bit more about Mornings and Moments with Samaris and how that came to be a thing.
Well, I'm a Marine, and you know, once Marine, always Marine. And I've been fit, and I would go through life where I would be in shape, out of shape, had the children. And when I would put my mind to it and discipline myself, I could always lose the weight. I would always. But in 2020, it just got to where I was in such debilitating pain. And I was thinking about gastric sleeve surgery, but then, you know, sometimes you talk too soon, you start telling other people about it. I'm like, oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, you can just
talk you out of it.
Or, you know, whatever. And so then God said, shut up. And so I prayed about it, and I just Googled. And at the time, I was still in Beaumont. And the top of Google's list was Chris's Bariatric in Beaumont, Texas. And I had never heard of him. Never heard of him. So I went and, you know, did more research. And the way God moved for me to have this surgery, the appointment was October the 11th. I had everything done. I ended up having surgery December 29th, 2021. It was the best decision that I made in 2021. It wasn't easy. I talked about those that had the surgery. That was the easy way out. You just take an easy way. No, it wasn't. It was very difficult. It was very hard, especially those first 2-3 weeks. But it was worth it. So after I had the surgery, I was 273 pounds, but in finding that out, I was like, oh my God, I'm almost 300 pounds. My daughter's like, no, you're not, Mom. You're 273. I said, I don't know about your math, but my math taught me anything above 5, you round it up. Anything below a 5, you round it down. So I'm 300 pounds.
The math wasn't mathing.
The math was not mathing. Math was not mathing. So I had the surgeon once I was, you know, recovering, but then all of a sudden I had this energy out of nowhere. And so, you know, just going, trying to make sure I don't overexert myself. And then I just started walking. And then I started going to the gym. And then walking, it just did something. It refreshed me. It was, oh, this is what the doctor said. I need to be doing at least 30 minutes, you know, several times a week. And it was just, and as I walked, I, as an accountability tool, I would send pictures of myself walking or exercising to my children and a few ladies at my job that we exercise and we encouraged each other. And one of my coworkers, she would always say, she does Zumba all the time. She would say, Samaris or Sam, just start. So the just start just, you know, comes for her, but God just stretched it out even more. So it came to where Mornings, Moments with Samaris came with, it was an accountability tool. And as I was sending it to my children and to these ladies, I would literally be going through my phone and I would hear Holy Spirit say, send it to this person. I'm like, but Lord, I ain't talked to them in years or ages. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And it got to be where I am talking to myself but I'm just doing what God tells me to do. And one thing I know and realized through this whole process that this is what I've been created to do, that God literally created me to empower and encourage. And even if, like a couple of weeks ago, I felt like, how can I empower and encourage? And I feel powerless and I feel discouraged. And I heard clearly as day, don't stop, get it, keep doing. I was kind of falling off the wagon a little bit. No, Shakira, you was like, okay, well, my moment. But he made me get back on track. And the fulfillment that I feel that is on the inside of me, I am empowering myself. I am encouraging myself. And so in some mornings, I'll get up and run. And I'll say, good morning. Remember, just start. Let's get it. And I'll post that on social media. And then there may be like a less than 90-second reel. Well, whatever God gives me to say, I'll just, you know, just some tidbits. So I'm trying to learn this thing. And there are some tools, some things, some resources I need to address and some things, but I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. And those moments are here to stay. Those moments with Samaritans are here to stay. And it's just part of what I say, my healthy me journey. So I've been in this now 2.5 years. And just weighed the other day, and I was 273. I'm 282, so I'm down 91 pounds since December the 29th, and I feel amazing.
Praise God. God is so good. That is so beautiful. And I love how you mentioned because that was one of my questions on, I know firsthand how it is to be the encourager, and sometimes I don't always feel empowered and encouraged every single day, but because of course, lifey. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you, like, how do you find ways to pour into yourself or receive encouragement from others?
Well, even the greatest therapist needs to have a therapist. It's great. You have Jesus. And therapy. And I'm a firm believer in therapy. Everybody's different. Not displaying with the mental health issues that I've had that, you know, made to feel shame of. I embrace it because that's just part of who I am. And it's going to bless somebody else. I have no shame. So my therapist last week said, Samaris, I wish I could write you a prescription for someone to pour into you as you have poured into them. And that really meant something to me, probably more than what she thought, but it was like, wow, somebody sees, not that nobody sees, but just in my mind, somebody sees, and God, you hear. And for her to say that, it just did something. It was a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing, but I make sure, even as I'm pouring out, you have to make sure that you get replenished, mm-hmm. because you'll be exhausted. And that's what I found myself, completely exhausted. And things were chaotic with the change of life as growing gains these last 90 days. I've had to refigure some things. And so I've been experiencing growing gains, not growing pains, but growing gains. So God is leading me and Holy Spirit has guided me on what my new normal is.
I love that. I love that so much. You cannot pour from an empty cup. I say that all the time. Baby, if I need to take my days, my rest, even Jesus rested, okay? The Sabbath is so important. And Jesus and therapy.
And one thing that is very important that I learned was stop pouring into vessels with holes in them.
Woo! I'm about to throw a shoe at you now. You're about to preach.
Because you'll pour into something, someone, and they're not retaining it. they have holes in it. You're steady pouring. They're steady coming to you.
She went there. I didn't.
They're steady coming to you. They're steady calling you in the midterm. Put that phone on. I don't even know what it's called.
Focus. Do not disturb.
Do not disturb or focus. Whatever happens in the middle of the night is going to be there in the morning. If God call them home, ain't nothing you can do about it. You need your rest. And so I was so consumed with everybody else's stuff. I was pouring into vessels that had not little holes, they had big holes. And I saw the holes, but I was still pouring because I wanted
we
to
be
save
thinking
everybody.
That we
I wanted to save everybody. I was gonna bring everybody to heaven. I was gonna save everybody. Everybody was gonna know Jesus, and I was gonna do it. And was nobody gonna be left behind? But I was pouring, and those vessels had holes in them. Mm. And it got to be where they were like, they weren't caring nothing. But I had everything. It got to be where I cared more about whatever the situation was than they did. And God said, now that's the problem. You can't focus on what you need to focus on. You can't take care of you. You can't do this. When are you going to start investing in yourself? So then also through this process, learn that invest in yourself because you're your most important and longest investment. So if I don't take care of me, who's going to take care of me? So can't nobody take care of you, Shakira, better than you can. Can't nobody take care of Samaras better than I can.
You better say that. Let the church say amen. I need to see some amens in the comments. Do you hear me? Because we really be thinking that we are like baby Jesus with a super cape on. It's like, no, we are not. He has not called us to everybody. And that's one thing I had to learn is like, everybody is not my assignment. Mm-hmm. So that is so good. And I thank you so much for sharing that. If you could go back and give 20-year-old Samaras or just young adult Samaras one piece of advice, what would it be?
Samaras Ann, God loves you. You don't need a physical man to love you. And the way that God loves you far outweighs anything anyone says. You, Samaras Ann, you don't need validation. Samaras Ann, you are a jewel, you're a diamond. You are worthy, you are beautiful, you are great, you are victorious. You are not what happened to you. You are amazing. You will do amazing things. And even if you fall sometimes, just still get back up and it's going to be okay. Don't make it more than what it is. Stop. Don't overanalyze. Mm-hmm. Just get up again.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much. So good. So good. At the end of every episode, I like to affirm who I am in Christ Jesus. So after today's episode, first, for everyone in the audience, in the chat, I want you to drop what affirmation would you affirm after today? I am fill in the blank. And then Samaras, what would you affirm? You just spoke to little Samaras, but just one affirmation. I am. And then I'll share mine.
I am empowered. I am. It's just one.
You can go ahead. Yeah.
I am empowered. I am encouraging. I am who God says that I am.
Oh, love that. I love that. I see someone said, I am deserving. I am receiving this. So good. After today's episode, I would say I am an overcomer. Because Lord knows we go through things, but the key word is through. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay stuck. We overcome. So I am an overcomer. I see someone say, I am worthy. I love it. Yes. Affirm yourself, ladies. At the end of every episode, you should be able to identify who you are and whose you are in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much, Samaris, for joining us on tonight and just sharing, you know, some of your story, your testimony, and some gems with us. I am truly grateful for all that you do and how you pour into me. So I hope that everyone else really enjoyed hearing your voice on today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that I was a guest.
Absolutely. We gotta have you back.
Just let me know. And you are definitely my little sister and my angel neighbor. Definitely.
Thank you. I love you so much. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Y'all, was that good or what? I see some affirmations still coming in. I see I am successful. I am more than enough. Yes, you are. I see I am an overachiever. Somebody said, thank you, Miss Samaris. Thank you. Thank you. Have to have you back for sure. Have to have her back for another episode. Thank you so much. This was great. This was great. Yes, I love it. Thank y'all for showing her so much love. Y'all know how we do it the Face Slayer way over here. Yes, it was great. She did that and did. Okay. Loved it. Loved it. Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of Identify You. I pray that this has blessed you and you're able to identify who you are and whose you are in Christ Jesus. I love to hear from you, so leave me a comment introducing yourself and your favorite takeaway from today's show if you're watching the replay. And also, let's stay connected. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share if you're on YouTube. Follow me at I Am Shakira TV on all social platforms and leave a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Remember, sharing is caring. And the more that we show love to these videos, the more that it will be pushed out to people who need to see the content. As always, make sure you walk by faith and slay, plus pray each and every day because God, He will make a way. I love you guys so much and I will see you next time.